The book would say it like this in another place. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints. So this is Paul talking to the church of Corinth. And he said, let me talk about giving. So all those people that say, I don't think preachers should talk about giving. Well, you wouldn't have liked Paul very much. You wouldn't have liked being a part of the church at Corinth very much. He says, now concerning the collection of the saints, let me talk about the giving. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia. So you got to understand this. He's saying, this isn't just for one particular church. This is for all the churches. Even so do ye. As we've taught these other churches, this is what I want you to do as well. Because it's not just something that we have established for one church. It is something we have established for all the churches. Verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. So now let's just leave that up there for a minute. And let's just kind of dissect this, because this is Paul teaching us, the church, what this is supposed to look like. And so I think we can glean some knowledge and some revelation from this. We first need to see that Paul instructed them to give with regularity. For he says, the first day of the week, Sunday. Sunday's the first day of the week. So to give with regularity. Now, we understand some of you, you know, the way your pay period falls, maybe you might give tithes on Thursday. That's fine. The point is that we are to give with regularity. Okay? So this, I believe, would come against the concept that says, you know what, I'm just going to go about 3 or 4 months and then I'm just going to write a big check, tithe check, add it all up. Write it. I just don't want to write a tithe check every week and, you know, I'm just going to wait and put in a saving somewhere and then write a check and put it in. Number one, that defies the concept of a tithe because you're not giving him first. And it defies the concept of regularity. Does that make sense? So he's saying it should be done regularly. Why is this important? This is important because how many know it is very necessary for us to continually live our lives and live out our actions in a way that puts God first. Now, we understand and know that we can do that in a lot of different ways, but this is a way through tithes and offerings regularly that we can regularly show forth our understanding and belief that God is first in our lives. And we can't do that by waiting 3 months and then giving a tithe check. Make sense? It also shows that we are not to be hit and miss. I might get a little quiet right now, but that's all right. Paul's talking. This is showing us that it's the will of God. He said, let me talk about what giving should look like in the church, what the collection should look like in the church. He said, it should not be where we are hit and miss. First day of the week, regular. So I want to encourage people in this room who are hit and miss with your tithe, hit and miss with your offerings, hit and miss even with giving offerings based upon what it's supposed to be based on, generosity. If we are hit and miss in that area, that is not the mark that the word of the Lord wants us to reach for. The mark, the line that he is wanting us to operate in is not, hey, you know, I did real good. I gave like 2 weeks in a row. And then, you know, that third week I didn't do so good. And fourth week I didn't do so good. But then I got back on it. And then I got back off it. And then I got back on it. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And we are to be faithful. Faithful. Tithes and offerings regularly. Somebody said amen. So this is just practical. I'm just trying to talk practically to us tonight. And then Paul gives instructions for who was to give. Verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let Let every one of you. So this means nobody is exempt. You say, well, you know, I'm going through some stuff. I'm going through some hard times. I'm going through some financial difficulties. And I really got to just kind of pick and choose what I give my finances to. And you know, I this week I just can't give it to the Lord. I just can't give my tithes. I just can't give my offerings because if I give it to him, then to the Lord, then, you know, I can't pay this or I can't pay that. It's the wrong attitude. He says, every one of you should give with regularity. Everybody. So nobody's exempt from this. Every one of us. Somebody say, that means me. So nobody's exempt from the giving of offerings. And so then Paul then gives instruction for where we are to give our offerings. For he tells us to lay by him in store. Lay by him in store. Now, I know that's a little bit of a weird phrase that we don't necessarily use, but we need to know that that word store is the Greek word that means treasury. Somebody say treasury. Which still doesn't necessarily tell us where, it just tells us what to give into the treasury. Okay, well, what's the treasury? But what you have to understand is that Paul knew who he was writing to. And he knew the context in which he was writing to. And in the context in which Paul was writing, it was well known that in the temples of the Greek gods and the Roman gods, that many people in that world and that time worshipped, in those temples there was a box that was called the treasury. And these individuals who would go to this specific place that they always went to worship their god, when they got there, they would give to their god in this box, whatever, that was called the treasury box. So Paul, knowing the culture and knowing that everybody in the room knew the culture, he was letting God's people know that they also needed to give into the treasury at the place where they worshiped their God. Does that make sense? So that's why we don't believe that the Bible teaches the fact that we have the ability to pick and choose where we give our tithe and where we give our offerings. Individuals who might say, okay, well, I know it's scriptural for me to give tithes and it's scriptural for me to give offerings, but I want to determine where it goes. If I want to give to this person, then I'll give my tithes to that person. If I want to give my, if I see somebody, you know, that if I got a friend or a buddy that's, you know, needing something, then that week I might just give my offering to that person. And the Lord is going to count that as my offering. Or if I want to give to some ministry on television, then I'll give my tithe to them. And, the, you know, that is what I'm supposed to do. Well, biblically, I do not believe that's correct. The word of the Lord, Paul is talking to us, said, let me tell you about the collection. Let me tell you what this has looked like. And he said, you are to give it in the place where you worship. Somebody said amen. You know, and the reality is most of the people, I guess I couldn't say all, but most, because some people just might not know and have better never been taught, but most of the people who feel that way and want to do that as far as, you know, I'm going to determine where it goes, they got some pretty big submission issues. I don't want to be submitted to the pastor of the church. I don't want to be submitted to that church. I don't want to be submitted to that spiritual authority. And I'm going to kind of show them, because I'm going to determine where I give my tithes. And I'm going to determine where I give my offerings. And I think that that's a very dangerous place to be. And I don't encourage anybody in this room to do that. And I would say that that would be against the teachings of the word of the Lord. Somebody said amen. So Paul is teaching us on what giving is to look like in the New Testament church. He's talking to them about the fact that it should be done regularly. He's talking to them about the fact that it should be done by everyone and that it should be given in the place where you worship. And then he says this, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. As God has prospered him. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you where to give it. I'm telling you who's to give it. But now I'm telling you the principle that should guide your giving. What should guide your giving is based upon how God has prospered you. So now we see Paul was teaching them that their giving was to be done in accordance, again, to how God had prospered them and how God had blessed them. So I think it would do us all good as we think about the giving of our offerings. And I believe the Lord's talking to people in this room tonight. I really do. I believe as we begin to think about this and we begin to ponder like where we are and what we've been doing and the consistency in which we've been doing it and the manner in which we've been doing it and the heart in which we've been doing it. I think it would be good for us before we move too far down the road to just stop for a moment and just look back at the blessings of the Lord on our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Before we start trying to figure things out and what offerings are going to look like and denominate, whatever, I think it would be good for us to just, as Paul is telling us, listen, I want you first to understand and remember how God has prospered you. Take a look at what you have. You might not have what somebody else has, but you got a home to live in and you got cars to drive and you're not going hungry and come on, somebody. You got clothes on your back and you got the blessings of the Lord upon you. You got a great church. You got great brothers and sisters in the Lord to worship with. You're a part of a great vision, accomplishing something great for the kingdom of God. You feel His presence. You feel His power. He's blessed you. He's prospered you. Woo! He said, just stop and just look at how God has prospered. Don't get in all this business. Well, they just want my money and they just always grabbing for my money and always take. No, come on. You're missing the whole thing. You're missing the whole point. Come on, don't be bound by the spirit of mammon in your life. Just get an understanding of, oh, God has prospered me. Woo, I can't outgive Him. I can't outgive Him. He's blessed me. He's blessed my marriage. He's blessed my kids. He's blessed my home. He's healed my body. He's made a way where there was no way. He's done great things in my life. It's not about some preacher getting into my pocket and stealing what I got. It's about me understanding God has prospered my life and God has blessed my life. And somebody said amen. You see, because our offering is to be done with a realization like the Israelites had. We also used to be bound. But now we're free. Whoo! We were bound in Egypt. Egypt being a type of sin, a type of the world. How many were bound by the world and the things of the world? But how many have been set free by the blood? The blood of the doorpost, the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we should have received a penalty for our sin, because of the blood of Jesus Christ upon our lives, that penalty has been done away with. Now heaven is our home. I said, now heaven is our home. Why? Because He went to the cross and He shed His blood and He died for us on a tree called Calvary. And because of that, now we can come into right standing with Him. Oh, we are a blessed people. I was bound, but now I'm free. I was blind, but now I can see. I was lost, but now I'm found. I'm saved. I'm ready for heaven. And so it is from a heart that is continually overwhelmed by the goodness of God, continually overwhelmed by the presence and the power and the blessing and the miraculous Spirit of Almighty God. It is from that concept that we give of our offerings. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody ever received a miracle in your life? Come on, anybody thankful for it? Is there anybody that knows the Lord has blessed you? If it had not been for the Lord on my side, woo, that's what's going to judge and cause me to give what I give. It's going to be based upon the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. My heart leaps for joy. Ooh, my heart leaps for joy. So it is, and I'm hurrying. Oh, hallelujah. You prayed too long. You took my time. But I'm hurrying to a close. We need to be open and honest about what we have allotted. As we think about this, what we've allotted to give to the Lord as it applies to our offerings. We need to get open and honest about this. Introspectively, we need to look at the amount that we are giving the Lord in the form of offerings and say, is here. Now listen very carefully, because I think this is what some of us do. Do we give that amount because that's just what we budgeted in? Or do we give based upon his goodness in our lives? Oh, hallelujah. Now listen, I'm not saying that you can't budget in your offerings. We're going to talk about that in a minute. My point is whatever we budget should not be based upon what we have and don't have. The budget should be based upon the goodness of Jesus. Am I making sense? So what we determine should be based upon his goodness. And whatever that is, then we can say, now we'll budget that in. Does that make sense? Is my offering something that I've simply calculated in my head? Or is it something that has come from my heart? That's what Paul's talking about. That's what those verses were talking about. From our heart, from our spirit. Willingly give. It's not just coming from our head. Well, I can give this much, and I can still take care of that, and take care of that, and take care of that, and on and on and on. That's just from our head. That's not what the word of the Lord is telling us to do. It's telling us that is to come from our heart in correlation with our understanding of God's goodness in our lives. So let me just say to those who are currently giving offerings and to those who are not currently giving offerings, it is a free will thing. There is no set percentage attached to offerings. We just need to allow our knowledge of the goodness of Jesus to dictate our response for offerings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Now we understand, we understand things change. We understand people lose jobs. We understand that. And so we understand, how many know it's not equal giving, it's equal, sacrifice. It's equal understanding of the blessings of the Lord in our lives. And for somebody's response in giving to the Lord's blessing in their lives, that might be $10,000. And for somebody else's response to the blessings of the Lord in their lives, that might be $10. But what we have to understand is whether it's $10,000 or $10, it doesn't matter as long as their response was based on the same thing. Make sense? So now let me get real practical, and it's going to take me a couple minutes and we'll be done. I want you to see what the book says. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. I want to help somebody right now. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Every man according as he what? Purposeth. He purposeth in his heart. So let him what? Give. So if tithing is not giving, if tithing is just returning, then I believe this verse is speaking of offerings because it is giving. And so offerings, if that is the context, which I believe it is, then it says it should be done what we should purpose in our hearts to give an offering, right? So tithing, it doesn't matter. You make $200 a week, $2,000 a week, or $20,000 a week. It's 10%. Don't matter who you are. 10%. But this verse is letting us know that we should also purpose what we are going to give in offerings. Hallelujah. So, what does this look like practically? Here's what it looks like. As you begin to think about this, we need to pray and we need to seek God and we need to have our hearts and our spirits, our emotions, our will. We need to allow those things to react to the understanding of God's blessings in our lives. And then we need to purpose a percent. If you don't want to do a percent, then do a number. Do an amount. Okay? You say, well, now you're getting into legalism. No. Purpose. So what does that look like? It looks like whatever you want it to look like. It's a free will offering. But it has to be purposeful. Purposeful. So this teaching is showing us that if we get paid the same amount every week or biweekly or whatever it is, we should not come to the house of the Lord and allow our offerings to be determined by what is remaining or what we've got going on that week. It's a big week. Got a lot of stuff. Stuff's happening. I got to pay for this, and you know. And so this week, my offering is going to be less. Now, next week, it can be more because I don't have all the stuff. You see, that is not being purposeful with your offering. Purposing is saying, I'm going to take time. I'm going to take days. I'm going to talk about it, talk to my spouse, whatever it is. And we're going to pray. And in response to the goodness of Jesus in our lives, we are going to purpose an amount, or we're going to purpose a percentage, so that every Sunday or whatever it is, weekly, bi-week, whatever it is, when we give, we're not going to sit there and say, what am I going to give this week? Because we're going to be going against the word of the Lord. Just willy-nilly basing it on what you have or don't have is not being obedient to this word, to the scripture. But we are to purpose in our hearts what we are to give. Somebody said amen. Okay? How many know if God's blessings in our lives don't fluctuate? Our response to his goodness, as it applies to offerings, should not fluctuate either. Right? Now, please don't leave here and say, well, you know, you made me feel bad because, you know, last year I had a great job and I was given this much offering and then I lost my job and so I'm not able to give that much offerings this time. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not at all what I'm talking about. You say, well, my offerings fluctuated. It dropped down. No, it didn't. You just purpose from what you currently have. You purpose what is generosity with what I have, in based upon the blessings of God in my life. So it's the same for the millionaire or the single heir, the thousand heir. It's the same. It's the same principle. The same principle applies to everybody. What does generous look like in response to the blessings of the Lord? And that is what we're going to purpose. And so it is that you should be able to see on your giving record at the end of the year, you should be able to see if your job stayed the same and, you know, those kind of stuff, you should be able to see a consistency of offering regularly to the house of the Lord. Consistently, a consistent number. Now, you also we also need to entertain the fact that we may have the Lord move upon us and have greater revelation of his glory and his power and his might and his blessings in our lives and say, you know what, in response to, I just was overwhelmed with the blessings of the Lord. And you know what, I want to show forth that. I want to increase my offerings unto the Lord. Make sense? Last scripture and I'm done. Deuteronomy 12:6. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithe and your heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your free will offerings. So you're going to bring your tithes and you're going to bring your free will offerings, which is what we've talked about tonight. And the firstlings of your herd and of your flock. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, you and your household, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Oh, hallelujah. How many know? Listen, we say it, we've said 100 times, we'll say 1,000 more times. We do not give our tithes and offerings so that we will be blessed. I've talked to you for the last 45 minutes about the fact that we give our offerings not to receive anything, but solely because of our understanding of his goodness, of what he's already done, not something we want him to do, but what he's already done. How many can testify to the fact that if he doesn't do one more thing for you, he's already done enough? But it is true and it is biblical that when we are faithful to him, he is faithful to us. And what I know, if I know anything, is when he can find an individual who is faithful with their tithe and faithful with their offerings and they do it correctly, biblically, the blessings of the Lord are upon them. The blessings of the Lord are upon them. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, don't go around saying, you know, well, I'm not a millionaire and I'm not driving a Rolls Royce and I'm not living in a mansion. Come on, somebody. Blessed. Blessed in the field, blessed in the home, blessed going out, blessed coming in. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. Come on, if you're blessed, stand to your feet, lift your hands, and just praise him for a moment, shall you? Just stand to your feet, open your mouth. Give him praise for his blessings. Come on, somebody, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. Somebody said amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. How many believe the Lord has taught us, talked to us? Amen. From his word, how many know this is important? It's important. It's very, very important. God is concerned with this. God watches this. God watches. One more time. Say it, amen. Amen. A couple quick announcements and we'll get you out of here.